The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and are based solely on their personal experiences and interpretations. Nothing shared in this podcast should be understood as a factual claim about any identifiable individual. Any references to relationships, past events, or personal history are intentionally nonspecific and are not meant to describe or comment on any particular person. This content is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, therapeutic, or clinical advice. Listeners should consult appropriate professionals for guidance related to their specific circumstances. Hey, folks. I know you could be listening to one of a million different podcasts right now, and I am super grateful you picked this one. Welcome to The Human Show. I'm your host, Trish, a holistic life coach and a mom navigating this complex world of human emotions. Here, we will share stories, insights, research, and information to help you step into the most true version of yourself so you can be a happy human. Now let's get into it. Hey folks, thanks for being here. I'm super excited to have an awesome guest joining me today to talk about our true selves. Tracy Brown, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm so excited to be with you.
Likewise. So before we get into this juicy topic, can you just share a little bit about what you would like folks to know about you today?
That it's been a long road to get to where I'm at. And I know that even where I'm at today is not where I will be, right? My spiritual teacher, my coach, Kristen, always reminds us there's no there. But where I'm at today, I feel.
I love it. Sorry, I laughed because I felt like joy when you said that. It just felt so, it felt happy. And thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for feeling that. Yes. And you did feel what is true, because I think for a long time in my life, I could not say that. I feel like I couldn't say that until truly embody that till the last year. And I'm 52, for Pete's sake.
Wow. Yeah, I get it. So we were having a conversation recently, and what came up was, who are we? Who is our true self? Who is the authentic self? Who is in there? Do we even know who it is? And so that's what we're going to get into today. So let's start out with, what are some of the things that might push someone to start questioning that? Who am I? What is my identity? So what are some of the things that you see, maybe with your clients or even with yourself, that came up that you were like, whoa, I'm not sure who I am?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, I love that you asked that based on what you had previously said to me, what should people know? Because it is precisely why I can say that I do like who I am, because I've done the work to get to know who that is. And I can tell you, when I was 39, I didn't know who that was at all. I thought I did. You know, you're 39, you start to settle into yourself. But the truth is, I was never looking inside. I was always looking outside. And it is only because of this long road and doing this work that I actually do know who I am and do like who I am. And so when you ask about things that people, clues, if you will, that people can know or people will know, that perhaps there's some work to be done. That's what you asked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can just speak from my experience and what I see. I was working in a completely different career. I'm a life coach like you, but I did have a career for 25 years prior to that. And I was noticing that the colleagues around me who were doing the same thing didn't seem to have the struggles that I did. They could enjoy their jobs with more ease. And I found myself full of angst. I was so, it seemed so hard to be successful at what I did. I had to work so hard where other people didn't seem to have that. And so I would start to think about, wow, like, why is it that I'm so unhappy? And that was the other thing. I recognized that I was unhappy and they're not, right? And so what now I understand is my body had been talking to me and giving me all the clues. And because I wasn't paying attention to my inner world, I was looking out, I missed it. But the thing is 80% of the messages that we get from our brain actually come from the body. Body is infinitely wiser than our heads. And I missed it. And so looking back, I could see things like, like on Sunday before I would go into work, I would start to have this major dread. And it wasn't like a case of the Sundays. It was like I did not want to go. Like I felt sick to my stomach. I would have tears. And I started to recognize, like, that doesn't seem right. But I just powered through. I just said, I gotta do this. There's no other way. This is it. And then I started getting sick a lot. I would have knots up and down my back. I would just feel like when I thought about some of the core things that I had to do, I would just get this full body no. And that's the thing. That's when we start to get clues, is paying attention to what our bodies are telling us. And it's one thing to get a little nervous or have butterflies. That's not necessarily bad because growth isn't always easy. But when you are feeling an overwhelming sense of something negative, that's when it's time to stop and listen. And I did not do that for 41 years. Yeah. And so I think that is universally true. And I see that with my clients as well. Right. Yeah.
I think that, your career often is a place where this sort of questioning who you are could start to come up because of you were in that job for quite some time, right? Yeah, so and I think, when it starts, we start to feel a shift, maybe we started the shift, or maybe we didn't. Maybe there were layoffs. Maybe something happened that caused our job to change that we didn't choose. But when there's some kind of shift like that, then we start to question, what am I doing and who am I? Because our identity gets tied up in these things that we do. And
Absolutely.
career is a big one. You're in a career for a long time. It sort of becomes unconsciously who we are.
Absolutely. I had someone very wise say to me one time, people generally look at themselves from three ways. They identify themselves by what they do. That could be a mom, it could be a wife, it could be a number of things, by what we have, and very little by who we are. And when she said that, I was like, oh my gosh. It was like one of those light bulb moments, right? And because the thing of it is it could come out from a career, but it could come out from your, relationship that you're having. It could come out from being a busy mom who works and has kids and also has to watch out for the dog and all those things. If your body is talking to you, right? It might be that you're not getting enough sleep, you're waking up a lot. There's a number of things. So it's about paying attention to your body.
Yeah, because I can see how, like you mentioned, moms, and even if you don't have kids, even you're just in a long-term relationship, and there comes a point for a lot of people where they start to feel these physical things, and they might even feel depression, and it's something changes, and you just feel like not yourself. And I think, like you said, that's your body telling you something's not right here. And, do you think part of it is sort of because who we really are is so misaligned with who we have become based on our external factors. That's why things get out of whack.
Sister, you are preaching. Yes, absolutely. I mean, everything you said was exactly the experience. You know, my husband and I were fortunate enough to be able to travel to, this is when we were living in Los Angeles. So Hawaii is just an easy 5-hour trip. And we would go to the island of Kauai, which is magical and beautiful and one of my favorite places on this earth. And the first morning after arriving, I couldn't get out of bed. Like, I was physically exhausted and empty. And that's one of those moments where you're like, something is really wrong. I'm in paradise and I cannot get up. And that really began, like, I need to figure this out. And I'd been hearing this voice. And that's the other part. When you talk about clues, our inner voice, our intuition is always speaking to us. And it is the seed of our wisdom. And I'd been hearing meditate for like 6 years. And I was like, pass, no. Like, I was like, snooze button, I'm not doing that, no. And what I have found, and I'd love to hear if this resonates for your experience, but if I don't listen to that voice, it will get louder and louder. And by the time I got to that trip, it was so loud. I was like, all right, I got it. I was desperate. And that's when I started to get quiet. And that shifted everything. By like the 8th morning, there was a certain level of peace. And I will never forget that we were in line waiting at a food truck to get breakfast. And all of a sudden, I don't know what it was, but something cracked inside of me. And I could get a glimpse of who I truly am. There was this light and this joy and this peace. And I was like, oh my God, that is me. That is the true me. And in that split second, I knew that this life that I had spent 25 years constructing, of which, by the way, while I worked my butt off, I also was very successful at, but at a price. But I knew in that split second that this life I had created was so deeply out of alignment with who I was. So it's exactly what you said, Trish.
Yeah, that's such a great story. And I mean, I love hearing stories like that, where there is a clear moment of almost like a wake up call.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about, you know, for people who don't, you know, a lot of people maybe don't have such a clear wake up call, or maybe it's there and they missed it. You know, like you just talked about intuition. Often we ignore the signs just because it's human nature and we're busy and our brains take over and all of that noise blocks us from actually hearing the true wisdom, like you said. So sometimes it's hard to see that. And I guess I want to go back to what you were saying about the physical reactions and things like that. So what are some signs? And I don't even know if this is just coming up as we're talking through this.
Do it, girl.
You know, what are some things maybe that we could highlight here to help people recognize, like, you might be misaligned, and that might be some of these things that are happening could be indicators to, it's time to look inside and see who you really are. And if you don't know who that is, then let's work on it. So like you mentioned, like sickness, like you were getting sick, your Sundays before you went to work, it was like overwhelming dread. You know, I would look at those as some indicators, like, okay, it's time to just pause and assess. You know, I mentioned before depression. I think that's a big one that could definitely be an indicator of this misalignment. And often we miss that cue and we do other things to try to deal with the depression, when the depression was really just sort of like a message saying, hello, you have something to look at here.
That's correct.
What are some other things that, you know, stuff that people might be going through or dealing with or suffering through, really?
Sure. Anxiety is probably one of the biggest. It is like a foghorn. Mm. If there is anxiety, you know that there is something There are some feelings inside of you that you are not addressing. And I love our teacher, Michelle. I love her for a million reasons. But one of the things that she taught, a very simple explanation for anxiety is, imagine your feelings in one car, right? Going a direction. And your feelings, we were born with feelings for a reason, right? Our feelings just want to be seen and heard. They are carriers of messages that we need to know. So your feelings are in one car, and then the other car is your ego. And your ego's whole purpose is to protect you. And if you've got some feelings that are in any shape or form uncomfortable or could make you feel a certain way, your ego is like, oh, hell no. I do not want you to feel those, right? It's there to protect us. It is. And so our feelings are in like a car going the opposite directions. And your feelings are like, feel me. And your ego's like, hell no. And it's two cars going in opposite directions that bump up against one another. And you can imagine the energy that's created when two cars in opposite directions meet. That's a lot of energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think of that. All that energy, that's anxiety. So if you're having anxiety, right, that's a sign. Now, for a lot of us, and I think that our culture is becoming more emotionally intelligent to some extent, you might know it. I had chronic anxiety and had no damn clue until I left that industry. And I would wake up without that job and be like, damn, why am I feeling all this? And it felt like nervousness. Like I could feel like energy coursing through my body. And there was no reason why. Like when I actually said, what's going on? Why am I feeling? For me, it felt kind of like nerves. I don't have to be at this job. I don't have to worry about feeding all these. I used to represent film directors. I don't have to worry about feeding these directors, you know, figuratively. What is going on? So if you are unable to sleep, I would wake up at 4 a.m. just like in sweat. Like what? And that's not from, you know, perimenopause either. That is not from Mother Nature. That was from the universe speaking to me through my body, right? So waking up in the middle of the night, not being able to sleep, ruminating thoughts, having the same thought over and over and over again, feeling this nervousness and not being able to attach it to something. So I think anxiety is a real big one.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I felt what you were saying because I went through it too.
You did.
And it's interesting because what I remember of, you know, what I learned from Michelle's, I will always remember the definition. Her definition of anxiety is the physical manifestation of unfelt emotions.
Yeah.
And that spoke to me like so loudly because, like you just talked about, that image of the two opposing forces pressing into each other is what it is. It's like it's almost too much energy for your body to contain. And it comes out in different ways. And maybe it's crying. Maybe it's shaking. Maybe it's your stomach is sick. Maybe it's headaches. There's all different ways that it's going to come out. But yeah, when you, it was such a great image that you created with those two cars, like it almost feels like, you know, uncomfortable, just that image. And I can 100%, you know, relate to that. And that is how it felt. And anyway, I won't go into my story, but I will say that I can relate to how anxiety feels. So let's talk about, I've been, you know, kind of researching women in transition. And one of the big things that comes out of transition is realizing you don't know who you are, and whether it's because of a job change and unconsciously your identity was tied up in that job. Now you don't have it. So now who the hell am I without that job? And, or it's a relationship. You leave a relationship and realize, well, I don't know who I am because I had become that person's partner for 10 years, you know, now who am I? It's becoming a parent. And now you're not, you've lost that single life. You're like, well, now what? Like that's who I was. And now that's, you know, and then it's even, you know, people, when they become empty nesters, their kids leave the house. It's like, well, now who am I? Because I was a parent raising kids for all this time and now they're not here. So now what? And that can be really terrifying. It can be really sad. So what I want to ask is, you know, if a client came to you and they're in this spot now, maybe they're devastated, they're depressed, they're like, hey, this change just happened and I don't want the hell to do because now I don't even know who I am. So I wanted to talk about maybe some things that we would do as coaches to sort of get the ball rolling. There are some different exercises we can do. I'm curious what kind of things that you would start out with, like pretty simple basic stuff to go back to connecting with you and finding out who you are.
Yeah, that's it. And I tell you, girl, you nailed it when you talked about terrified. Like that was literally, and you brought up some really, I think some really common examples of transition. For me, I had my job. I mean, I was getting six-figure bonuses and my job could have been okay, right? There were some transitions within my industry and I ended up getting laid off because they didn't want someone on salary. I was essentially like sales. They wanted to hire an outside force that they didn't have to pay unless a job happened versus me that had a salary plus all these bonuses. And, but I'd already been thinking, you know, 18 months prior that it was time to go. So as I was starting to say to the universe, show me the way, show me what I am here. Like that was the first thing, was getting into meditation. Right. And I'm not a meditator, as I said, like I was hearing it for years. I was like, pass. And so I started out with a guided meditation. I actually started out doing more like 15 to 18 minute, but 5 minute, start out with guided. That's a great way. I often recommend that to clients who say, I can't just be in the quiet. I just can't. Okay, that's fine. Try just listening to a guided, because it's not about emptying your mind necessarily. It's about being able to start to train it. And so if you just can get clear about listening to a voice, and just focusing on that. And I think that's a great way. And at the end of that, I would say, show me the way. What am I here to do? And be careful, because when you speak to the universe, it hears you, baby. And it is going to send you on your path, whether you like it or not. And it's probably not going to be the path that you thought. So for me, when I was like, I am ready, show me the way, the universe is like, oh, yeah? Okay. Well, it's time to get laid off. And at that point, I was like, I had this terrified feeling in my stomach. And then I immediately heard this voice that said, you are okay. You are going to be just fine. And I was fine. And to this day, my boss who owned the company, she and I still talk. She's like, I was so proud of you. You were so together. And it was like, because I heard that voice. And so to answer your question, the first thing to do is to get back in touch with that voice. As we talked about earlier, it's that wisdom. And it's about slowing things down. Slow yourself down. That's what's beautiful about meditation. Meditation is that invitation. And so if you sort of take off all the expectations of what meditation's supposed to be, right? And just use it as an invitation to slow down and start to go inward. And if you can start to do that, that's where you can get quiet and hear that inner voice. And that really is the first step, right? Journaling. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, go ahead with journaling, because I was going to ask about that. So keep going. Oh,
yes, sister. That is probably one of the biggest tools that I use to this day is journaling, because journaling is this like beautiful invitation to get conscious about what's going on in your head. I can't tell you how many times the pen has just like kind of taken on a life of its own. And I'm like, what? Like, I had no idea that was inside my head. Like, was that just like rattling around in there? And I did not know. Well, yes, Tracy, it was, right? But journaling is this beautiful way to quiet the noise, kind of get out all the things that are rattling in your head. It's like this energy moves through your arm and out your hand onto the paper. And all that stuff gets out of you. I find when I write things down, it helps me organize my thoughts, quiets the mind. And all of a sudden, I start to become in control of my thoughts versus them controlling me, which is also part of the invitation with meditation. You get to start to learn how to control your thoughts. Up, bring it back. Up, drifting, bring it back. And I think that's really the first thing, is to start to get back in touch with hearing your voice.
Yeah, I love how you talked about slowing down. And both of those examples are great ways to slow down. And I think you're right about, you know, like you didn't want to meditate for a long time. You were like, nope, that's not me. I think a lot of people are like that. They're like, yeah, that's not for me, whether it's because I can't sit still for that long, or they think it has to be an hour, or they think it's, I don't know, too woo, you know, like, and really, like you said, all it's about is slowing yourself down, and it can be 5 minutes.
That's right. That's right. And the thing of it is that most of us stay busy and stay distracted because somewhere we know that this inner world doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel safe. And so we create lives. Like some of us, life is just busy, right? Like you said, we were full time, we're juggling things. I don't have children, but life was still busy, in part because of my job, but in part because I made it that way.
Mm.
Because the busier I am, the less that I have to hear myself and I have to be myself. And I think that's very common. And sometimes it's busyness. Sometimes it's alcohol. Sometimes it's food. You know, there's a number of things that we do to keep ourselves busy and distracted so we don't have to be with ourselves.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the reasons we lose sight of who we really are, because we get wrapped up in all of this noise and all of the doing, because definitely in our society, it's almost what defines people. I mean, you even said it, someone wise said to you that that's how we often define ourselves, by what we do. That's one of the big ones. You know, I remember years ago, I think I heard it on a podcast or a radio show. Someone was talking about how the difference between interactions in the US and other countries. And like, I mean, if you think about when you first meet someone in our culture, one of the first questions, the first one is probably what's your name? And the next one is, what do you do? And they were saying that in other cultures, that question isn't asked. It's not asked right away. It might not be asked at all. They don't ask what you do. And it really struck me because I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true. So much weight is put on what we do. So of course, that's where our focus goes. And we end up getting so wrapped up in that, whether it's career or the rest of our lives, but we have to keep doing. We have to keep doing. We have to keep up with everyone else because our value seems to be determined by how much we're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason we totally lose sight of who we are. Who we are is about being. And we get so wrapped up in doing that we lose track of that. So I'd say that only because, you know, your point about slowing down is really the first step to start reconnecting with yourself and figuring out who you are.
Yeah.
You have to stop because we're all on this, almost like this race, wherever it is we think we're going. And we're not seeing everything that's around us, and we're not seeing everything that's in us. So I think the slowing down is just such a great, simple way to start out reconnecting with yourself.
Absolutely. And you said something I thought was really interesting. And sometimes it is circumstantial that does make us question who we are. My journey was a little different. I never knew who I was.
Mm.
Never. And that was something that I think a lot of people have, because, you know, that sense of who we are and feeling safe to explore that and being shown that from an early age comes from family and parents, right? But if our parents were, you know, had us when they were young, or have multiple kids, or they weren't given that gift themselves in their childhood, it's not something that gets passed down. So then they don't know how to mirror to us who we are, because that is what parents are supposed to do. But oftentimes we show up in this world and our parents need us to be what they need us to be. And that becomes more of our identity versus showing us who we are and starting to get curious. Oh, you love to draw. You love to paint. Oh, you're always so chatty. Like for me, I used to get messages. My parents used to get messages from the teacher like, Tracy's talking a lot in class, right? And my parents were always like, you know, they would get on me about that, right? You're talking too much in class. Okay, maybe I was, but maybe there's also something to that, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something about connecting with other humans that was so part of who I am, right? Which now is why being a coach, I know that I am living in my soul's purpose. Mm-hmm. But back then, it was just seen as a detriment. It would cause them more trouble. They would have to focus on me. It was a pain in the ass, all these things, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, when I left representing directors, that terrifying hole that was in my heart looked black. And I was terrified because I never knew who I was. And the reason I didn't go back into that world is because I knew that I wasn't supposed to be there. But I didn't know what the hell I was supposed to do. I didn't think I was good at anything. I didn't think I had anything to give, right? So that slowing down was the first thing. And then I started to think about, who am I? And it was like really simple. Like I started out with like, what do I like to do? Mm-hmm. I love people. I love learning about people, right? I love hearing their stories. So I started to write about just what I like. I don't like HR. I don't like working for corporate. I never liked HR. I don't know why. That was a me thing, not a them thing. I didn't like that like structure. I liked flow, right? I didn't like quantitative. I liked qualitative. I loved intuition, you know? And then you start to just think about who I am. Then what lights you up, right? I love being with you today, Trish. Like, I love seeing your face. I love having real, honest conversations. Like, that lights me up, you know? And so then you just start to go out from there. But the hard part of what, you know, the heart of what you and I do is you do a lot of inner work. Because once you can start to hear your voice, that's going to be your guide. But sometimes you got to get rid of all the old beliefs that are holding you, you know, like feeling like a lack of alignment, feeling stuck, feeling lost. Those are all indicators that you've got some beliefs that you haven't addressed yet that are slowing you down, that are holding you back. So I had to, you know, that belief I had that there was nothing good inside. Oh, girl, I had to work on that for years. I had to work on that for years, right? Addressing those wounds. And, you know, I did a lot of that work, but straight up, like the work that we did, especially when we were going through coaching, like the inner child work, that shifted a lot. You got to clean that stuff out to make space for new and to really be able to hear your voice, you know?
Yeah. I like that idea of cleaning out old stuff to make space for new. That's a good way to look at it. Oh, before I forget.
Who said that? 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 Who said that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love it. Which actually, it is a Paulo Coelho? Coelho?
Paulo Coelho.
Hello. Yes. Thank you. God, you say it so beautifully. Maybe the journey isn't so much about becoming anything. Maybe it's about unbecoming everything that isn't really you, so you can be who you were meant to be in the first place.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah. It reminds me of, I wonder if that was from Alchemy. Did you read his book, Alchemy?
Alchemist.
The Alchemist. I'm sorry. Because it's essentially what that book was about. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. This search to find who you are, and you didn't have to go anywhere to do it. You are right where you are. So yeah, I love that. That's a great one. The unbecoming. You know, it reminds me of unlearning. You know, when you do your work, your inner work, so much of it is trying to unlearn these, you know, patterns and things that you've gotten into so much that you're like, you're almost on autopilot, and you have to almost disassemble all of that and unlearn it. And the unbecoming, it made me think of that whole concept. And that's, you know, figuring out who you really are, who is your true self. I think that's a big part of it, is sort of breaking down this outer image of what you've become.
Yeah.
If it's not aligned, but for a lot of us, it's not, it's all wonky. So it's really about looking at what that shell is that's kind of blocking us, and start breaking that down.
Yes. Right? I loved when we were chatting prior to coming on, use the word rediscovering. Mm. And I love that, Trish. There's so much deep honor in that word you use, right? Because it's exactly what you said. The answers are already inside of us. They are. Our true us is always there. It can never not be there. Just about rediscovering. And I love that you use the word rediscovering, because the implication, we already know.
Mm.
A firm believer, we come into this world as our true selves, and then life happens. You know, like I remember being 6 or 7 and going in my basement and playing and pretending I was a psychologist. I don't know how I knew that at 6 or 7, where I got that word, but I would have all my little files, and each file was a client, and I would be working in my files and taking notes and all the things at 6 or 7. And I didn't do anything with all that natural knowing till I was like 48 or 49.
Right.
And so that is our true self. We come down with that. And so it really is a process of just rediscovering.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. 100%. And I love that you mentioned what you loved when you were a child, because I think that's definitely something to look at when we are trying to rediscover that true self. That's something I think to add into our list of things to journal.
Mm.
What do you like to do? What lights you up? And what did you love to do as a kid? Because when we were kids, when you're 6, 7, your vision is not blurred by others' perceptions and society perceptions and our culture's expectations yet. It's not blurred by that yet. So often as kids, we are our true selves because we don't give a crap what anybody else thinks. We just do what we love. Like you were a 6-year-old psychologist in your imagination. That was it, because that's what you loved. So I think that's such a great exercise to journal about what you loved as a kid, because that's when you were connected with your true self, right?
Oh, girl, yes. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to steal that from you. That is so, it is so true. Gosh, we are at our most pure and innocent, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I might do that myself next time I'm journaling.
I know, right?
So I'm like, I think that would be fun. Yeah. So one other thing I wanted to touch on before we are out of time is the fact that our identity or our true self, it can change over time. So I wanted to ask your thoughts about that, because I think there could be some pressure for people if they feel like they're at this crossroads and they're like, oh, I need to figure out who I am, to know that it can and likely will evolve. So it doesn't have to be a definitive box description with bullet points of who you are. So tell me your thoughts on that.
I think that's so wise. Yeah, Trish, I absolutely subscribe to that. You know, I've mentioned Kristen a couple times. She's just a really special and important person through my journey. And I loved when she said, there's no there there. And when you really think about that, it takes the pressure off. Like, there's nowhere to race to. There's no striving to reach this. You just get to know that there's always going to be change. We're constantly evolving. Like, that's why we come down to have this experience. Like, I am very sure that we have this human experience because our souls come down for its growth. Right. And if you think about that, we're always going to be growing. And so, I think that having daily practices to keep you grounded and to keep you connected to yourself is how to continue to stay with the flows and the changes, right?
Yeah.
If we stay connected to ourselves, we can start to hear when something isn't in alignment anymore. This isn't feeling good. This doesn't light me up the way that it used to. I literally was saying that to someone this morning about a practice in my life. Like, God, I think I'm starting to shift in some ways because this isn't feeling aligned to me anymore, you know? And so there's a couple things that I would recommend in order to stay connected to self so that you know when something isn't in alignment anymore. The first thing is just staying present, as you punctuated a few minutes ago, right? And you can do that with breath work. Breathing is one of the most powerful ways to help us stay present, right? Getting quiet, that's probably the second thing I would recommend, is making sure that you're putting moments in your week to get quiet. And it doesn't have to be these long drawn out. It could be a half hour, you know? You're taking a hike, you're sitting outside, you're reading, right? But just getting quiet. Quiet could be taking a 15-minute shower and don't listen to a podcast. Just stay in the shower, because I can't remember where I heard this. I don't think this was in our coaching program, but that we receive information. You can receive it at any time, at any place. I'm sure you have. I have too. But a couple of the main ones are while we're sleeping, while we're driving, and while we're in the shower. It's a lot of times we get messages. So if you wake up with a lot of new thoughts, keep a little journal by your bed, right? That kind of thing. Keep it in your bathroom. But getting quiet is really important. The third thing is what we talked about, slowing down, meditating, journaling. Super great. Sleep is really, really important. I think it's probably one of the quickest things that we take out of our day or that we cut into in order to make it all work. But sleep is one of the most important things that our body needs. In that regenerative time, we're regenerating our energy, right? If our energy's low, we start to lose touch with ourselves. We start to go on autopilot. We get short. We don't have the space or the mental game that we need to handle life, plus listen in. It's really, you know, and sometimes it's not sleep, it's just downtime. Not going to that dinner, not going to that party, staying in, being really cognizant of how you need to recharge, right? And so that would probably be the fourth thing. And then not for nothing, but the fifth thing to kind of like stay connected is pay attention to what you eat and drink, because alcohol and sugar can really start to block our connection to our inner voice. Yeah. So those are the things that I would recommend as a way of staying in touch with self and our intuition, our inner voice.
Yeah, I love those. Thank you for that. Yeah, I wish I had another hour right now to spend with you, but we're going to have to do it again because there's so much more to say.
So good.
Before we wrap up, I wanted you to share how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, thank you for asking. So I am at www.coachingwithtracybrown.com. Super simple. And I am occasionally on Instagram. I try to post a couple times a week. And my IG is Reedy, R-E-I-D-Y, Brown. So Reedy Brown on IG. And that's it. I don't spend a lot of time on the socials. Energetically, it doesn't resonate. So yeah.
Got it. All right, cool. I'll put all that in the show notes. And I so appreciate your time. This was such a great conversation.
Aw, thank you so much. It was. I loved hearing your thoughts, and it was so fun to be with you. So thank you very, very much for having me. And if you end up writing what you love as a little kid, hit me up, will you? Because I'm like, I would love to know what that is.
Yeah, totally. I'd
love to know the little Trish. What's that girl up to? For real.
I will, for real. I will share that with you. Thank you for that. All right. I guess I'll do it for now. So for everyone listening or watching, you are enough just as you are, and you are loved. Make a great day. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend or share it with a stranger. Just share it. Okay, bye.